Okay, so we'd like to thank Karen Jacob Levis for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn. Leila Nishbach's Le'ilui Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. Okay, so we are in a brand new Mishnah, Perek Gimel Mishnah 13, and we're going to talk, we're finally getting to Rabbi Akiva's statements, and we're going to talk about the main topic is going to be about fences. What does that mean? We'll get to, and we'll debate and try to analyze. But for starters, let's just jump in to Mishnah 1 and think about, as we read the Mishnah, is there a running theme in the Mishnah? Can we break the Mishnah down into different components? Are there a number of ways to understand the Mishnah? You know, the usual questions that we ask while learning Pirkei Avos, we're going to apply to this Mishnah as well. So Rabbi Akiva says as follows. I broke it down into 5 sections for you. Could help as we go along. Number 1, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Schok v'kalus rosh margilin la'erva. So lightheadedness, laughing around, jesting, leads people to erva, lewdness, immoral sexual behavior. We'll have to understand that a little bit. Number 2, if you were sleeping, now you woke up. Number 2, Misores siag la'torah. This is understood in a number of different ways, but we'll just use the translation given by the Sensino here. Tradition is a fence to the Torah. Number 3, ma'asros siag la'osher. Giving ma'aser, tithes, is a form of protection, a fence for wealth. Number 4, nidarim is a siag la'prishus. Taking vows helps with restraint, self-restraint. And number 5, siag la'chachma. Shtika, a fence for wisdom is silence. So some of these we might be familiar with. They're relatively famous. If you notice, what's the first thing that you notice in terms of continuity of the Mishnah? Things that run through the Mishnah, what seems to be the main idea? Siag, a fence. So notice that only the last 4 mention fence explicitly. The first one does not. So some commentators are going to pick up on that. Is there a difference? Is there a different message between number 1 and the next 4? But we're talking about fences. So what are these fences? How are these siags going to help us? And broader picture is there a context within what we've been doing until this point that Rabbi Akiva might be telling us something similar, something different from other previous Mishnayos? So just to get our feet wet without too much analysis, I want us to look through Rashi. If you remember, Rashi on Pirkei Avos is going to be a commentary who's going to give us the basics. He's not going to go into too much depth. He's not going to give any fancy analysis. He's going to try to tell us what he thinks is the pshat, the simple explanation of the various things in the Mishnah. So I think it's a good place to start for this Mishnah because we're going to get a little more complicated. But let's start with the basics. Let's start with how Rashi explains each one of these concepts. So number 1, margilin. So this is schok v'kalus rosh, lightheadedness and lewdness. Jesting leads to lewdness. So margilin, Rashi says, mamshichin es ha'adam lidei avera. Some sort of drawing near. These things draw us to sin. Notice how he just says general avera sin, not specific types of sin, but sin in general. Schok v'kalus rosh can lead us to general types of sin. That's number 1. Number 2, misores hagedola siag l'torah. So what's misores hagedola? Anybody know what this is alluding to? What's a misores? Thank you, Carbo. So keep reading a little bit. He says, shal yidei ha-misores yadinon berer ha-mikros v'hilchosav. So we have something called the Misorah, which helps us understand and helps us read different psukim in the Torah. There's some psukim that maybe there are different traditions for, or we're not exactly sure. There could have been, it looks a little bit different here, a little bit different there. So we have a tradition, how we're supposed to read the Torah. Sometimes, some of us may be familiar with the fact that sometimes it's written one way and it's read a different way. So there are different traditions as to how that is done, and that is, you know, that tradition of how we understand and read the Torah is essential for how we keep going, because otherwise everybody's going to read it a different way, everybody's going to have different opinions, so we need some sort of continuity, and that's the tradition of the Misorah. So Misorah here refers to the traditions of how the Torah is written and read Otherwise, you could have just made a broad statement, right? If you were asked to translate, what is Misora Siag LaTorah, you could have made a broad statement that tradition, right? Just general tradition helps us keep the Torah. But Rashi's more specific. It's not talking about general tradition. It's talking about the specific tradition of how to read and write the Torah. Next, Masro Siag LaOsher. So how would you understand this? Tithes are a fence for wealth. What's your first thing that might pop up into your head? All right, so the more tzedakah you give, the more wealth you'll have, which is counterintuitive from a naturalistic perspective, right? If you want to get money, you don't give money. But from the Torah's perspective here, Masro Siag LaOsher, Rashi explains, Shenemar, Aser Taser, Aser Bishvil Shetis Asher. So the pasuk is understood is that by giving money away, we become rich. Again, counterintuitive, but we're guaranteed to some extent. The pasuk says, test God. Usually we don't test God. You're allowed to test God when it comes to tzedakah. Give him, give tzedakah, and you will become rich. So giving money, giving maaseros, is a protection for wealth. Continuing for a second, siag. Rashi all of a sudden wakes up and tells us, what does it mean, siag? Geder v'chizuk. It's a fence and it provides strength. Nidarim is siag l'prishus. So how does nidarim, how are vows a fence for self-control, if you will, self-restraint? So it's, does this make sense? Not make sense? Right, so you make a vow and then you're afraid to break the vow. Right, so it's one thing for me to say, I'm not going to eat that chocolate cake. It's another thing for me to say, I vow not to eat that chocolate cake. So I might not listen to my, I don't know if it'll work, but at least I have a little bit more of a chance that I might not listen to the concept of just, I have enough control to stop myself. Maybe I don't have enough control. But now that I strengthen it with a, nobody does, no. But now that I strengthen it with a vow, so that vow can hopefully protect me from eating that chocolate cake. Which raises a question, which we'll get to a little bit later on, is do the vows actually work? Should we make a vow? Or are we just basically putting more on the line now because maybe that chocolate cake is so enticing that even with a vow I'm not going to be able to control myself. And now instead of just eating the chocolate cake, now I'm violating a vow plus the calories. So we're going to have to deal with that a little bit later on. But the main idea to start, the starting point, is that Rabbi Akiva seems to be telling us that it's either a good thing or it's something we should consider, is that we want to have self-control, self-restraint, to add a vow to the discussion, so that can help strengthen our resolve. Continuing. Right, so keep going. So if somebody is trying to protect himself from doing something that he doesn't want to do and he's afraid that he's going to violate it, so then he should accept it upon himself in the language of a neder. So I'm not going to do X, Y, or Z. This is the way that I'm going to control and not do it. I'm going to be able to control my yetzer hara. Keep going. Again, we're just getting our feet wet. We'll elaborate on all these things as we go along. Then finally, siag l'chachma ishtika, famous statement. He quotes a pasuk, dechsev gam avil macharish, v'armin yafa shtika l'chachamim, kot shekein l'tipshin. So silence is good to somehow enhance our smartness, or at least protect our smartness. We'll have to see what that means. It could be understood in a number of different ways. So that's just starting. What I want to do now, before we delve into each one separately, is to see if we can find main themes across all of these concepts. So to do that, who's going to be one of our main go-to mefarshim, who's going to talk about broad themes, especially running themes throughout the perek, is the Abarbanel. Okay, so we're going to start with the Abarbanel in source number 2. The Abarbanel has two statements for us. I copied and pasted it, so it looks like it's together, but they're actually in two separate parts of the Abarbanel. So let's read paragraph 1. Hinei, b'mamar arishon, sh'amar ha'eloki Rabbi Akiva, s'chok v'kalos rosh. Kasva mefarshim. So first he's quoting other people. Ki ba'avor sh'nizkar l'mala ma'amar Rabbi Yishmal. So what did we do last week? Rabbi Yishmal, who's Rabbi Akiva's friend, what did he tell us? Have a kala rosh. What does it mean to be have a kala rosh? Remember from last week? It means to I don't know what it means, but you have to review all the mafarshim from last week. But at least for now, the Abarbanel is trying to say that it's be quick, be simple, be zariz, okay? Ra'al lahazya, so Rabbi Akiva sees Rabbi Shmuel says, and says, nope, you got to be careful. That's a dangerous concept. Ra'al lahazya, Rabbi Akiva, shalon ata bezeh, beheter haretsua, behargilo be'inyan hakalus. The concept of being quick and light-footed is good for some things, but is bad for other things. Yes. So, what's it good for? So, it's good for mitzvos, Torah, right? But if you're too quick for other things, then you're going to get yourself into trouble. So, that's what Rabbi Akiva's coming along and saying. Ki aschok v'kalus rosh, right? The same kal, kalus rosh. Have a kal rosh, kalus rosh. Same words. So, kal rosh is good according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva says, be careful, because when you're too kalus rosh, im hachonos atzumos be'isra arayos, then you're going to lead to doing things that are pretty bad. Shachar kachodia dal klolim v'sharas adam el hashleimus. Then we have four concepts that are going to help us attain some level of perfection. So just to frame, what's the Abarbanel saying? Number one, context. We're pushing back from last week's Mishnah. Don't be too kal rosh when it comes to erva type of things that could lead to sin. That's when you don't want to be quick. You want to slow down. You want to take some deep breaths, and you want to think about what you're doing. And then number two thing we're pulling out from the Abarbanel now, which should help us as we go forward, is that the next four things. Remember, we had one statement of of Schok V'Kalos Rosh. Then we had four Siag statements. So the Abarbanel says that those four Siag statements, we're going to put them into categories. Each one is going to teach us perfection in a different area of life. And so the reason why we're doing this is because it's going to frame, as we go through each one, we're going to have to guess, we're going to have to try to figure out how can we categorize these four into different parts of our religious, social, personal lives. So keep that in mind as we go. Now, next paragraph, this is where there's a jump. So in the Abarbanel itself, this is later on. He is now going to quote himself. He just quoted other people. Now he's going to quote himself. He says, "Lachein hayoser nira li bezehu." I think the following: "Ki l'masha haya hadarosh haikari beperak hazeh." Remember, what is? This is test our memory. What's the Abarbanel's reading of the main theme of chapter 3? What's the Abarbanel's reading of the main theme of chapter 3? Chapter 1, according to the Abarbanel, was all an elaboration of Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. Every Mishnah that came after that was an elaboration of that theme. Chapter 2, anybody remember? We did a whole shiur on this around 6 months ago. Chapter 2, laser. The purpose, laser, no, nothing. Chapter 2, the Abarbanel said, is all about a debate whether or not we focus on Torah only, or Torah and Derech Eretz, or whatever you would put into that other meaning. Are we exclusively Torah, or do we add some level of worldly knowledge? That's the debate surrounding all of chapter 2, and the Abarbanel reads every Mishnah within that debate. Chapter 3 is about what? Reward and punishment. Close. How to stay away from Averos. Fear of sin. Okay. We'll give it to you. We'll give it to you. The fact that you knew to look forward is enough to, Chacham Eina Barosha. Okay, so here we go. So chapter 3 is all about ways to fear sin, ways to avoid sin. So the Abarbanel is now going to put this Mishnah in that framework of ways to avoid sin. So he says, Ki l'masha yadarosha yikar b'perak zeh bakashas hadrachem hana'osim laharchika adam in avera. What are the best ways for me to control myself to not sin? Kimo shepe rashdi b'divrak kavya ben mahalalel. Like I've already explained that this whole parak has to do with avoiding sin, and as I explained as we went forward, Hevi misadra Mishnah, Mamre Ashalim Rabbi Akiva, Shem Nos Nintam, Leshevach Be'inyon Hadarosh Atzmo, Veratza Be'mamaro Zeharisho Lomar, so he wants to tell us, Sheyesh Derech Acher, Revi'i Lisrachik Min Havera, there's a fourth way. What other ways have we seen? Milvad, we've seen before, Ha'histaklush Zachar Akavi Be'mahalalel, so what did Akavi ben Mahalalel, first Mishnah in Perek 3, tell us how to avoid sin. Laser, work backwards. 3:1, what is it? Right, look at three things and therefore you wouldn't come to sin. Know what's above you, right? All that stuff that we did. So remind yourself, meditate on these factors and you'll avoid sin. So that was one way to avoid sin. Meditation about the fact that we're all going to die, etc. And then we also saw that Rabbi Hananya Skana Kohanim said, how do we avoid sin? You can't work on yourself to the point where you're going to avoid sin. It's too hard. How do we avoid sin? Fear of government, punishment, right? Otherwise, everybody's going to destroy each other. So that's the second way to avoid sin. Rules, government, self-control through meditation. And the third way is learn a lot of Torah. Keep yourself busy. Keep yourself occupied. You do that, you're not going to sin. So those were three ways we've already seen to avoid sin. And now here, Rabbi Akiva is coming along and telling us the fourth way. What's the fourth way to avoid sin? Next paragraph. V'aderech ha-revi'i hazeh hu inyan ha-siyagim. Fences. It's all about fences. V'lachein hiktim lomar schok v'kalos rosh magir lena adam la'erba. U'milas erba lo tamar bilvada isurei harayos. So he says, like we mentioned with Rashi, don't tell me erba only means arayos, not just immoral relationships. It's also ki kolelas gamkein kol chetva shama. It's every bad thing, every sin. V'kol davar sharei lios mechusa v'nela me'a adam. Anything we're supposed to avoid. V'nisgalalo yikra erba milashon aru aru adi yesod ba. So we have other precedent why it doesn't just mean erva, but it means anything bad. Shecharfos ha'adam uvizuyav v'gama palaso nikras erva. Anytime we fall, anytime we sin, then it's called embarrassing. It's called an erva. So he quotes some other psukim for that, and therefore he says, "V'zachar Hashalim sheschok v'kalos rosh rotzelomar choser das umiut tvuna magir l'nesa adam l'kol erba v'chet." What's the source of all sin? Lack of knowledge, lack of thinking. Right. So this is he is taking a stance on this that it's not just control. The way to control is through proper thought. All sin is sourced in lack of proper thinking. And because of that, what do I need to do? Create fences. Kidei shebishomro osam yishmor hadvarim haikarim lishleimuso. By protecting the fences, I'm going to protect the essential aspects to avoid sin, which is my thought process. Kikimosha geder vasiag. So just like a fence and a gate is what keeps out animals from coming and destroying my field, the fences of the Torah protect the mitzvos, shelo yavar aleihem adam, so that we don't violate the sins, shelo choser sichlo b'shas haches hachet kibehema. Because what causes the sin? The lack of thought process at the time of the enticement, right? When I'm enticed and my passions rise up, then I can't think straight. And because when I can't think straight, I'm prone to sin. So then the question is, what do I do about that? What do I do about that? So what are my options? Option one is, that's option two. In the way I'm presenting it, at least. Option one is think. I have to improve my thought process. I have to improve my willpower, right? But then notice that that's not what he says. The way to avoid sin isn't strengthening my thought process. That might be true, but that's not what we need to do. What do we need to do? We have to put fences so we avoid the battle in the first place, right? So just to give the chocolate cake example again, right? If I have the chocolate cake in front of me, right? So, and I say, oh, I'm going to follow the Torah and I'm going to avoid sinning here and eating this chocolate cake, and therefore I'm going to think my way into not eating this chocolate cake, you may be successful, but you may not. Right? You may be able to think your way out of it, but the smell and the taste and the, you know, how beautiful it looks and enticing it is will eventually, or could eventually, overcome your seichel, your thought process, and then you'll end up eating it. So what's the way to avoid the sin? Don't buy the cake. Don't put it in front of you. That's the siyag. Right? You're looking forward to avoid the battle. It's not to win the battle, it's to avoid the battle. That's the message of a siyag. Yeah. Right. So you could argue that maybe if I do it and I win and I'm going to increase it, but that's not how we understand the Yetzer Hara. We understand the Yetzer Hara that it's always there and it's always going to fight you and battle you. And if the battle is there, you might eventually lose. So because of that, avoid the battle. Avoid the battle. Loud, loud.
Rabbi Akiva actually meant the opposite. So what's the opposite? Maybe this is what he meant to say. Then it fits to the other.
So we'll see that in the Rabbeinu Yon in a few minutes. Okay. So good. So he read ahead to the next page. He doesn't have that page yet. So yeah. Trying to throw him under the bus here, but okay. So let's. It's related to the concept of a chumrah, but it's not exactly the same thing as a chumrah. Sometimes chumras could act as a siyag, as a fence, and it's important that Chazal were also aware. I think we did this when we did we've seen the concept of fence before. Where do we see the concept of fence? What? Forget about Muxa. In Perkei Avos, where do we see fence? You have to have the best memory possible for this, because it's the first Mishnah. Right? What does the first Mishnah say? Right? So that Anshei Knesset Gedolah said three things. Have Misunim Medin, Ve'amidu Talmidim Harbe, Vasu Siyag LaTorah. Right? So this is not the first time we saw the concept of siyag. Rabbi Akiva here is shoving it down our throats and saying siyag to this, siyag to this, siyag to this. But it's not the first time we had the concept of a fence. And I believe when we did it back then, we pointed out that Chazal were also aware of the dangers of creating too many fences when people can't distinguish between what's the fence and what's the real thing. So you have to be able to know what's the difference between the fence and what's the real problem, because even though we want to make as many fences as possible, at a certain point in time, if we are confronted with the actual temptation, we have to know how to distinguish between what's really allowed and what's not allowed. And the example given is with, anybody know? What's the example, Barry, from Tanakh, about fences? When fences went wrong.
In
Gan Eden in the tree, where they put up too many fences, and because of that, Chava didn't know the difference between what really wasn't allowed and what was. So she touched it. They said, don't touch it. She touched it, nothing happened. It says, oh, so therefore I could eat it. Right? So you always still have to know what is a fence and what's not a fence, but the idea for now is fences are what helps. Just finishing off this, the Abar Bana, I think he finishes off in a nice way, so I want to read it. So we are around five, six lines from the bottom. One, two, three, four, five lines from the bottom, four words on. in the middle of the line after the period. So we did this already. The fence protects the field. The fence of the Torah protects the mitzvah. Because when we sin, it is the lack of thinking. I'm acting like an animal. Do not rely on how genius you are. It's irrelevant against the sin. When we think we're so smart, guess what? That sin has the ability to make our whole smartness very small, kal, light. Our head becomes light, become lightheaded, and when we become lightheaded, all of our inhibitions go out of the way, and we eventually give in to the temptation. So Yavar Benel, just to summarize so we can move forward, tells us two things as we're going to look forward in the rest of the Mishnah. Number one is that we want to be looking for how these four things relate to four different aspects of life. That's what he said in paragraph one, that each siyag is for a different area of life. And then the second thing that we're going to be thinking of in general is how are these siyagim, how are these fences going to help protect us from sin broadly? And the lessons that we can take away, I think, could help us in our daily lives as we hopefully try to avoid as much sin as possible. If you look at source number three, Medrash Shmuel, and this is going to be the last source in the introductory remarks, and then I'll hand out page number two. So the Medrash Shmuel is going to give us one more thing to think about, weaving together all the concepts of the Mishnah, and he says as follows. The Efshar Shakavana Biyos Rabbi Yishmal Hayachaveros Rabbi Akiva Ba Rabbi Akiva Divir Rabbi Yishmal. So this is like the Abar Benel, that Rabbi Akiva is jumping off of Rabbi Yishmal's point. Rabbi Yishmal said, have a kal l'rosh, and Rabbi Akiva has to counter that. Lefarsh ki afa pisha amar Rabbi Yishmal Shemekabal es kol adam besimcha. Rabbi Yishmal said, besides for having kal l'rosh, said, greet everybody with simcha. Be happy. Be joyous. Im kozeh, sarech, shlo yimshach shemea simcha, yimshach adavar lios chok. There's a fine line between being nice, being friendly, and being too friendly. Being too close. Having too much fun. Ki krovim heim zeh el zeh. They're close. V'gam b'yos Rabbi Yishmol amar avei kal l'rosh ulif amim tzarech adam shiases atzmo kal l'rosh. Sometimes you have to be lightheaded. Im kol zeh lo yehi ba'ofen shiyavo l'idei kalos rosh. It can't come to be kalos rosh. Kal l'rosh is not the same thing as kalos rosh. Kischok v'kalos rosh margilon le'erba. So you have to toe that line between being friendly, between being happy, between being in a good mood, and at that point when your positive emotions cross over to being in a state where you're no longer thinking clearly, where all of your inhibitions sort of slowly go down, then you're in trouble. So va'amar margilin l'erba, what's this phrase margilin? Ki kein darko shel yetzer hara. This is how the yetzer hara works. Today it says, do this small little thing. And in psychology we call this entrapment. You get somebody to do a little sin, a little avera, and slowly, slowly, slowly it builds up. Eventually you're going to get to serving other gods. So you start small. You start with, taking pennies on the dollar, and then you build up to complete Ponzi schemes or whatever it is. V'chein amar akasuv, havei moshchei avon b'chevle ashav ka'avos agala chatash lo yala alev adam lomar shavera gedola goreres avera gedola acheres kimosa. Don't say to yourself, big sins cause big sins. That's not the case. Avera ketana eino gereres avera. Don't say that small sins don't cause big sins. Avera gedola. Lachen nishmianu akasu ba'amar ki afilu adabar asher adayin lo igia l'chlal chet. Now he goes even a step further. It doesn't even have to be a sin. And this is how the Medrash Shmuel is going to understand the whole Mishnah. Our Mishnah is not talking about sins. Not just don't tell yourself big sins cause big sins, but little sins don't cause big sins. That's not true. Little sins cause big sins. But then don't even tell yourself that this isn't even a sin. It's not going to cause anything worse, because even things that aren't sins could eventually lead to small sins, and then bigger sins, and then big sins. So these are things that are not good. They're despicable. They're not nice. But they are not sins proper. They still, they will eventually bring you to a stricter sin. And that's what the pasuk is talking about. That even these things that are small will bring us to sin. Skip a line. The middle of the line after the period, it says, Amnam. Amnam hachet davar pashatu, shika abos agala, asher yesh bakoach limshoch achareah, kama v'kama avonos. Each sin can draw with it many, many other sins. V'zeu sha'amar ka'abos agala chata, u'lezeu amar Rabbi Akiva, kischok v'kalus rosh, af imnira, she'enam averos kesuvos petora. These things, schok, laughing, show me in the pasuk where it says I can't laugh. Show me in the pasuk I can't have a good time. Where does it say it? It doesn't. But even though it doesn't, they're margil in la'erba. Asheri echad me'asosha averos ha'chamuros ha'betorah. They lead to one of the big three. One of the worst things you can do in the Torah. But Amar, and he continues, misora siyag la'torah, elu arba siyagim shehizkir b'kan. These four fences. Lefi, what's the theme between all of these fences? Shekol elu harba devarim hayanira kefi asechel ha'anoshi she'adaraba him siyua lepritzas geder v'shmianu Rabbi Akiva shu hefeh. He argues that, and he's going to read each part of the Mishnah this way, that each one of these things, we would have thought on our own the opposite. We would have thought the opposite. Just to give you the simple example to show what he's saying, is that would get back to the money, right? Seichel, logic, seems to be the opposite. If I give away money, that's not going to make me money. Right? So he's saying that this and the rest of the Mishnah are all things that I might think the opposite is true if I just followed my own logical analysis. And because of that, Rabbi Akiva's coming to tell me it's the exact opposite. Don't fall to these distortions of your mind. Rather, follow what I'm telling you, because I know Rabbi Akiva says that these things are going to run you into trouble. These things are going to eventually lead to a bigger sin. So here's another broad theme as we now go through the details as to what we should be thinking about as we read all the details of the Mishnah. The Abarbanel said we should be thinking about how all of these fit into different categories. So that's one thing we're going to be thinking about. What are the categories? We're going to be thinking about how these things deal with avoiding sin. And now we're also going to be looking at, can we explain this, like the Medrash Shmuel says, as counter logic. Each one of these is coming to tell us something that we would have thought otherwise wouldn't be true. Yeah, Barry. Ezehu.
The
Hubba, oh, yeah.
Right? So you start with 3, 4, and 5. So it's talking about Ashirus, and the Gedder for Ashirus is the Maestro. So the Mishnah says, Ezehu Asher has to land the Talpa. So giving Maestro makes you aware that you have a limited portion, there's a portion also that's going in. So there's a kind of humility that goes in. That's the first. The second one is self control. Ezehu Dibar, probation, gives you. So the Nedarim accomplishes that kind of self-control. The third would be Hazel of Havani, so previously that talked about the relationship with God and how Halomaiti called Adam, which can only learn in person. The fourth one is the stretch, which says the Mesorah is the term, I say, keep
Tikkun HaTorah, they said how Tikkun HaTorah, right? So maybe that's what Tikkun HaTorah, Tikkun Rabbanim. So he's really collecting what concepts that are related to that.
So for those who didn't hear, Barry is basically saying that this Mishnah is connected to a Mishnah we haven't gotten to yet. So when we get there, we'll remember what you said. But basically, it parallels up with the concept of Ezi Washir, etc. I'll just reflect now. I'm pretty sure the Medrash Shmuel, who we just read, on that Mishnah says the same idea. That each one of those is the counterintuitive way of understanding it. Right, so just go with Ezu Ashir. Ezu Ashir, you would think, is I have a lot of money. So no, it's Sameach B'Chalko, meaning it's you would have thought that Kavod means this, Osher means this, this means that. Rather, it's the exact opposite. So just to as a strengthening of your point, when we get there, we'll try to remind me. We'll look back at this Mishnah and see how it connects. What? He got it from you, probably. Okay. Or for all we'll know, you are a Gilgul of him. So that's So now, so you just got sheet number 2. Any extras?
Yeah,
we still have some time. Okay. I'm good. Okay. So let's we're not gonna cover everything today. We'll save some for next week. But let's start where it says part 2, Schok Vekalus Rosh. We're trying to understand a little bit as to what the message behind the concept of how lightheadedness, laughing too much, can lead to sin. You know, to some extent, we like to laugh, right? We like to have a good time. So this is sort of like a countercultural message here, because most of us enjoy going to a comedy show, and most of us enjoy watching a sitcom that makes us laugh, and etc. So thinking about, well, what does the Torah have to say about this? Is this appropriate? At what point does it go from my simcha, which might be a good thing, to kalus rosh? Again, there's a fine line between those two. So as we go through the sources, let's see if we can come away with a better understanding. So let's start with the Rambam in source number 4. So the Rambam is in Hilchos Deos. I guess I'll plug the Monday night Hilchos Deos here, just because it's directly relevant to this. So we talk about the laws of character, and that is what the Rambam discusses in Hilchos Deos, and here it overlaps directly with Pirkei Avos. So the Rambam quotes our Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. When we read these sources, I want us to keep in mind, again, everything we just reiterated, you know, 3 times already, what we're supposed to keep in mind. And then otherwise, when we talk about Schok V'Kalus Rosh, is this only leading to sins of specific types, or is it a broader concept of sin? We already saw the Abarbanel said it means all sin, but does everybody agree with that? And if not, what exactly are the mechanisms to how Schok V'Kalus Rosh leads to these sins? So look at the Rambam here, source number 4. Lo yehe adam bal schok ume haslos velo etzev ve'onen ela sameach. So the Rambam says, don't be somebody who laughs around too much. Don't be the class clown, if you will. On the other hand, you don't want to be the other extreme of being sad and depressed all the time. Rather, the middle path seems to be sameach. Be happy. Nothing wrong with being happy. That's not what this Mishnah is going against. Kach amru chachamim schok v'kalos rosh magir l'nes adam l'erba. This, the sages, meaning Rabbi Akiva here in Pirkei Avos, says that schok and kalos rosh lead one to sin. Bitzivu, they commanded shelo ye adam parts bitzchok velo etzev umis abel ele mekabelos kol adam besever panim yafos. He's mixing a lot of different mishnayos together. You know, you shouldn't be somebody who's always laughing. You shouldn't be somebody who's always sad. Rather, you should greet people pleasantly. V'chein lo ye bal nefesh rechava nilva lohon velo etzev ubatan umelacha. Right, you shouldn't be somebody who you know, is sort of like doing everything, sort of like in a manic state. And then also you shouldn't be depressed to the point where you're not doing anything. Ela bal ayin tova mimad ba'esek ba'osek b'torah. Find this balance to have a good eye. We saw that in other Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos. Exactly what it means is debated. So have a good eye. Decrease the amount of work that you do and learn Torah. And that which you get, you should be sameach b'chalko, as Barry just pointed out. V'lo bal k'tata, v'lo bal kina, v'lo bal taiva, v'lo rodef achar achova. Now he throws in a bunch of other things you shouldn't do. You shouldn't fight. You shouldn't be jealous. You shouldn't be somebody who wants a lot of taivas, a lot of desires. And you shouldn't run after kavod. These three things, jealousy, desire, honor, remove people from this world. We'll see that in a later Mishnah. Klalo shel davar. Big picture. Yelech b'mida abeinonish b'chol deya b'deya. Follow the middle path. Ad shu kol deyose m'chubonos b'hamsos. Until everything you're doing is in the middle. Okay, so that's the Rambam. And again, in the Hilchos Deos here, we talk about that a lot. And how he seems to contradict himself at some points. But for now, he seems to be creating this stretch between somebody who's overly laughing, that's the problem, that's the bad extreme, to somebody who's depressed, that's the other extreme. In the middle is being sameach. So being sameach does not exclude, you know, being happy, but it does exclude joking around too much. Again, what does that mean? There's no actual practical distinctions. Is it if I laugh for 30 seconds, that's a problem, but 25 seconds is not? Right? So he doesn't give us the details of all of that, but general broad guidelines as to there is a point where you are laughing and playing around too much, and that's bad. That leads to erva. And notice also, what's the broader context? Right? Even though he says it's magirlin la'erva, that's only an example. What's his main point of the entire halacha? Is it just related to erva? It's related to a character trait, right? It's related to how I should generally be. I should be sameach, and I shouldn't be somebody who jokes around too much. Now he's bringing a proof that I shouldn't be somebody who jokes around too much from Schoch Bekalis Rosh Margil Erva, but that's not the point. The main point is this isn't what I should be, this isn't who I should be, regardless of what consequences might come out of it. So you can say, let's say you create a scenario. Well, if you could create such a scenario, that I am going to be Schoch and Kalos Rosh, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to somehow isolate myself from any possibility of Erva. However that would be, I create some sort of scenario where that would happen. So what would there be a problem with that? And so if you look at this Mishnah as it's just a functional approach, that Schoch v'Kalos Rosh lead to Erva, the problem is Erva. If you can isolate somehow the problem of Erva, then there's no problem at all. And that's one way to read it. The other way is that doesn't seem to be the way the Rambam's reading it. The Rambam's reading it's not that the Schoch v'Kalos Rosh lead to Erva, and it's only a problem if it leads to Erva, but the Schoch v'Kalos Rosh is a problem on its own. That's not the character that we want to have. We want to have a character that's in the middle, that's Sameach. You want to avoid Schoch v'Kalos Rosh even if it doesn't functionally lead to Erva. And the reason why that's important is because even though I don't think you can actually isolate all of this, I don't think you can isolate Schoch v'Kalos Rosh from Erva. But what you have are people who say that they can. Right? You have people who say that, oh, I can watch this, I can listen to this, and it doesn't affect me. I've never done anything wrong in my life. It's never, I can hang out and joke around with the opposite sex. I can do everything, and I know how to control myself. So in theory, even if that's true, I'm not sure it's true, but even if that's true, it still doesn't matter. Because according to the Rambam, that's not the character trait that we should have. We should have a character trait that's sameach, but that doesn't joke around and laugh too much. Okay, so that's just, I think, an important point to realize, that these could be split into two points. Not just does it lead to sin, but how should my character be developed as a religious personality? Yeah. Say it again. Shlomo Amel. Right, so he thought he could control himself. He thought that he knew better, and that's the problem. Yeah, we don't know better. Yeah, sorry.
So what bothers me about the Rambam, when you touched on it before, that the yadim are the avoidance of the situation, and Rambam is more focused on the intellect. You should be able to control yourself. So how would he be able to take what Rambam says and convert it into practical advice?
Right. So I would say that's misassumption about the Rambam, right? So the Rambam, even though he's about intellect, the Rambam was also very aware of environmental factors and was very aware that we should set up ourselves in environments that are going to lead us to succeed. So the Rambam would say, perfect your intellect, help you avoid sin through that perfection of intellect. But he would also say, live in the right community so you're not, you know, don't watch X, Y, and Z so you don't, right? So the environment is important. It's not just intellect on its own. And as we go forth in Hilchos Deos, we'll see that. And we'll see that also in some other Mishnahs and Perkei Avos a little bit later on. Yeah.
So if the Rambam is separating the behavior from the consequence, then why does the Mishnah need to tell us, according to him, the consequence? In other words, why not just say, you know, study Makalos right? Just, you know, stay away from that. And we can then have all the courses and say, why is the Mishnah saying that? And Rambam's going to say, because we should just stay away from that because it's bad character. The fact that the Mishnah does include a consequence suggests that there has to be some basis.
Yeah, I think the Rambam would say that the consequence is there because it's true, but it's not the reason why you're doing it. Right? The reason why you're doing it, the Rambam says, is my broad concept of halach to bedracha and walking the middle path and doing that. That's the reason why we do it. There, Rabbi Kiva is telling us a nuance of that, some detail of that point, that it also leads to this. But the bigger picture is that this is the character that I want. Yes. One last thing, and then we're going to move on. Yeah.
This is makilim.
Yeah.
It means if you do it the whole time, you go into the elba. But if it's not a hergel, once in a while you make a joke. That's what the Rambam said.
Right.
The whole thing.
So I'm not sure that's what the Rambam's saying, but I'll just repeat what you're saying, because I think it could be a way of understanding this, is that Margilin could be understood in two ways, right? Margilin could be understood, and as we've been understanding it until this point, I think it was a Rashi who pointed out. Yeah, Rashi, you know, our first source, said, Mamshichim es ha'adil midei avera. So Margil means to get you, sort of pull you to, right? It pulls you. Rabbi Shaloni is suggesting a different interpretation of margilin, that margilin means to become habituated to, right? So to be hergel means that I'm used to it. I do it a lot. So those are two ways of understanding. Those are two separate ideas. Margilin is one is that it brings me towards, and one is that I'm habituated to it. So perhaps you can distinguish, if you understand margilin has habituated, then you can say that it's one thing to joke around a little bit every once in a while. That would be okay. But at the point where it becomes hergel, where it becomes part of your personality, part of your identity, that's where it becomes a problem. And I'll just support the reading of that with the Rambam, perhaps, is that what does he call, how does he start it off? Lo ye adam ba'al schop. What does it mean to be a ba'al schop? To be somebody who's, that's my personality, that's my definition of myself. Is that I'm a baal schok. It doesn't say you can't be sochek, right? It doesn't say you can't laugh. It says you can't be somebody who is a laugher. It's definitional, right? And then he says, lo ye adam paretz bitzchok. I can't be somebody whose paretz is like, you know, it's out there. That's me. I'm in your face with laughter. So, yeah, laughter itself is not the problem. It's being that guy who's always doing this, that becomes a problem. So that's one way to read it, which helps, which might allow us to have a good time every once in a while, as long as that's not, you know, my MO, that's not who I am in totality. Okay, so what time is it? Okay, so let's stop here. We'll save a bunch for next week. Next week we'll do... we'll finish up Schokin Kalos Rosh. We have a little bit more on that. And then we'll talk about Nedarim vows. And then we'll talk about silence as well. And we'll wrap everything up, hopefully, then. Next week is, regular week. Everybody's here? Nobody's here? Some people are here? I'm here next week. Okay, so next week we're on. If you could take your sheets with you. If not, I'll take them. So I'll bring them back next week.